It's here and now. And today, state security forces in Egypt fired tear gas at dozens of university students in Cairo, protesting the current military government, the one that threw out the democratically elected but too Islamist for many President Mohamed Morsi. Morsi replaced the ancien regime or old order of Hosni Mubarak. He was forced out in those massive Arab Spring demonstrations because he was too authoritarian. Liberals applauded all these changes, but now the country is sliding back into that authoritarian rule they thought they overthrew. So what happened? Well, our next guest says we should look to the French revolutions of 1789 and more specifically 1848 to find out. Sherry Berman is a professor of political science at Barnard College. She wrote a piece for the New York Times called Marx's Lessons for the Muslim Brothers. That's Karl Marx and the Muslim Brotherhood, which joined with liberals to throw out Mubarak, but then got thrown out by liberals in the military along with Morsi. Sherry, welcome.
Nice to be here.
You start with a quote from Karl Marx.
Well, Marx had this great observation about 1848, and he said that history repeats itself the first time as tragedy and the second time as farce. And what he meant was the first time there had been a democratic wave in Europe after the French Revolution, you got a dictator, Napoleon. And the second time you had a democratic wave emanating from France in 1848, you got another dictator, but this time Napoleon's nephew, who was clearly less impressive than the original. But the larger point being that you have these patterns of democratic waves falling apart back into dictatorship, and for reasons that Marx thought were discernible and predictable.
Well, and what are they? Tell us, first of all, who's behind the democratic wave, because that's key.
Exactly. Well, in 1848, you had these massive demonstrations across Europe. And generally, what was interesting about them was that initially, you had a broad coalition, the most important of which, of course, were, on the one hand, middle class moderates and liberals, and on the other hand, an emerging workers movement that also included some people we would today consider to be radicals and socialists. And they were joined initially by an antipathy to the old regime. They did not like it, and they were joined in a desire to get rid of it. But as soon as that old regime fell apart and democracy began to emerge across Europe, many people in that first group, the middle-class moderates, became quite nervous because they recognized that democracy threatened to bring with it not just power for them, but power for groups that they felt very concerned about, workers, socialists, radicals, who wanted much more extensive political reforms and even more frightening, much more extensive social and economic reforms than they were willing to accede to. So what happens in 1848 is the moderates and the liberals decide that the lesser of two evils is in fact an alliance with the conservatives, because they felt that workers, socialists, and radicals represented a threat to what they consider to be liberal interests that was greater than the threat presented by conservatives. And so the similarity that we see today in places like Egypt is that once the ancien regime collapses and you begin to see things like disorder, threats to social values, threats to socioeconomic institutions, that moderates and liberals begin to have doubts and often fall back into the arms of conservatives who promise them stability, protection of property, and other things that they feel are under threat from the radical elements that were unleashed by the revolution.
This is also why you can see liberals, progressives in Egypt applauding a military coup.
That's exactly right, because they felt that the Islamist regime that was in power was trampling over their needs and interests. And they decided that rather than let the democratic process play out, they would throw their lot in with conservatives who very clearly promised to get rid of these dangerous forces. What they did not fully understand is that the conservatives were not getting rid of this regime, the Islamist regime, in order to put in place a liberal, moderate democracy, but were rather overthrowing the Islamist regime to put in place a regime conducive to their own interests. Again, that is a pattern that we often have seen in the past.
Well, what else do we see from the past that helps us understand how long it takes for a democracy to evolve?
Well, I mean, once you take a sort of historical perspective, really what you understand is how incredibly difficult and how incredibly long-term this process is. The very cases that we've mentioned thus far, 1789, 1848, France, being the birthplace of democracy, didn't actually have a stable democratic regime until the second half of the 20th century, and neither did any of the other European countries that made transitions in 1848, Germany, Italy, Austria, all of these countries had to try democracy many times before they actually got it right. It's very hard to build stable democratic regimes. It's very hard to instill liberal values in populations that have long lived oppressed under authoritarian rulers. And so to explode Minerva-like from, this transition into a fully fledged, well-functioning liberal democratic regime. There's simply no historical examples of such a thing happening, and so we should not be surprised that it has not happened in Egypt.
Well, here in the U.S., we know we had a civil war followed by 100 years of tensions, but you know that your critics say that in this caution, you may be in effect downplaying the real danger from Islamists in Egypt. To just sort of write them off as almost perhaps even a passing phase that is necessary to get to democracy, you're not seeing what the real danger of them might be.
Well, there's no doubt that what the Islamists did when in power was hardly in conjunction with fully liberal and democratic values. The question is, what can be done to improve the chances for democracy in a place like Egypt? I mean, the ideal would be to try to take a movement like the Islamist movement, which was born under repression, and try to pull it towards a greater acceptance of liberal and democratic values. Certainly, you're not going to do that through a military coup.
Well, Sherry Berman, and perhaps this is unfair, but given what you know about history, and as you said, you've never seen any other pattern but the one that you've just described, what do you predict for Egypt?
What we saw after 48, after the collapse of cooperation between moderates and liberals and workers and socialists, was many, many decades of animosity between these groups. And that very much delayed the onset of well-functioning democracy in Europe. I think had the military rulers followed their coup with greater outreach, I think you would have seen a much stronger Egypt. And I think that the liberals and the moderates who initially supported this coup are probably having very severe second thoughts.
Well, and you've also said that one of the reasons that there wasn't that kind of compromise that you speak of is that under decades of an authoritarian regime, nobody learned it.
That's exactly right.
We are reminded of Chou En-lai when asked what he thought of the French Revolution. And how many years post was this?
This was in preparation for Nixon's visit to China many years ago.
Yeah. He was asked, what do you think of the French Revolution? And he said, too early to tell.
Exactly.
Sherry Berman, professor of political science at Barnard College, author of The Primacy of Politics, Social Democracy and the Making of Europe's 20th Century. Thanks so much.
Thank you very much.
And you're listening to Here and Now.
Funding for Here and Now comes from MathWorks, creators of MATLAB and Simulink technical computing software, accelerating the pace of discovery in engineering and science. Learn more at MathWorks.com.